Thank you for being with us on our Friends Day at Red Chapel. We're so thankful that you decided to join us today for worship. You picked a great day because we're actually starting a brand new series this morning. We're going to be talking about the church, the place where heaven and earth collide. And I thought I'd start off the series with the story that one of Jesus' disciples, a man by the name of John, he wrote a book in the Bible called John. And in the book of John, he tells us this rather interesting story about a man who had been lame, who was unable to walk for 38 years. And I find this story interesting, not just because this man was unable to walk, but I find it interesting because where this man hung out for 38 years. And John tells us, so in chapter 2, he says, inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. And he says, crowds of sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, they would lay on these porches. And one of them had been lying there. He had been sick for 38 years. And John goes on to tell us that this particular pool of water had five porches, and it was where sick and dying people would come, and they would lay there every single day. And then apparently at certain seasons, God would send an angel, and he would come down, this angel, and he would stir up the water of these particular pools. And what would happen at this time is the very first person that would enter into the waters, once the angel would come down and begin to stir the waters, the very first person that got in the water, they were healed. And so you can see that this was a very special and a very unique place. It was literally a place where heaven met earth. It was like this place where the supernatural world and the physical world collided. And then John goes on and he begins to tell us the rest of the story. He said, and when Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time. He asked, would you like to get well? And the sick man replies to him. He says, I can't, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the waters bubble up. Someone else always gets ahead of me. And so even though these pools of water, they had these supernatural qualities, they were still very limited, very regulated type of interaction, because only once a season, one angel, he would stir the water one time, and only one person was healed. Nothing more than that. And this poor man who had been lame for 38 years, he had been near the place where heaven met earth, and yet he was never able to experience the benefits of it. Until this day that John is writing about, when everything changed. One day, Jesus happened to be walking by the pool, and he asked him, do you want to be healed? This poor man replies, I've been here for 38 years, and I don't have anyone to lift me up and put me in to the pool of water. So Jesus tells him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat, and he began walking. See, everything changes today because Jesus, the Son of God, I mean, Jesus is the embodiment of heaven on earth. This was the person, he was fully God, he was fully human, and he enters into this sick man's life. And he just walks up to the man, and he changes his entire life. The thing that he had been waiting for 38 years, this answer that he had been waiting for, it's answered in this one moment of time when he encounters heaven crashing into earth. And interestingly, if you look at biblical history, you can find that there are various ways in which heaven and earth would come into contact with each other. There are stories specifically in the Bible where God would interact with his people in incredible supernatural ways. God was always located in specific ways for his people. There were specific protocols, and there were specific ways in which God would be encountered. For example, in the Old Testament, we see the tabernacle being built. And the tabernacle was literally the house of God. This was God's home on earth. This was the place where heaven and earth collided. But similarly to this pool of Bethesda, it was a very limited and regulated interaction with God and his people. Regular people could not go in to the presence of God in the tabernacle. Only the high priest, they were like the super spiritual people, only they were allowed to go into the tabernacle. And they could only go in after they had went through this lengthy cleansing ritual before they went in to the house of God. And so it seemed that God was very particular about the way in which he encountered humans. Similarly, in the Old Testament, God established what was called cities of refuge. And this was the safety of God. The safety of God also was regulated to certain locations, certain places. It was portioned out to God's people in very specific ways. And so this concept of the city of refuge, every tribe of God's people was to provide one city in which anybody, whatever crime they'd committed, whatever sin they'd committed, if they can make it with inside the bounds of this city of refuge, the people of that city were required to protect them people, to house them people, to feed them people. And so God chose a very, once again, a very particular way to interact with and keep his people safe. So heaven met in these very measured, location-specific ways. And then, we're just kind of giving you a history lesson on how God interacted with people. Then you come to the New Testament, and we have this new character that enters into the scene, and his name is Jesus. Jesus, the man I said earlier, he is the Son of God, and he comes to earth, and now he begins to entirely shift the concept of encountering God. Because now wherever Jesus was, that would be the place where heaven and earth would meet. No longer was God's presence felt only in particular locations. Now, when you were in the presence of Jesus, you were in the presence of God himself. Heaven truly had come to earth in the man Jesus. And so now Jesus, he becomes the place for people to seek refuge and safety. And so, as you read about Jesus in the Bible, you always find that Jesus is surrounded by the sick, by the outcasts, by lame people, by paralyzed people. They sought out Jesus because they encountered a God who loved them and offered them safety that they could get nowhere else. Jesus literally became a city of refuge for them. And then Jesus begins to shift the paradigm once more as he teaches. He begins to lead a group of people, his disciples, and he begins to instruct them in the ways that they're to live their lives. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus, he's recorded as teaching his disciples about how they're to be in the world. He says this, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And then watch what he says. Remember, we've got the cities of refuge. Jesus becomes this city of refuge, of safety, of protection. He says, "You are a city that is on a hilltop that cannot be hid." And so now Jesus, he's commissioning his disciples, the people that are following him and they're patterning their lives after him. And now he tells them, "You are a city that's on a hill." And with this reference, he gives them a very particular word picture of what their lives should look like. He's talking about his followers, the people who are following after him, the people who have given their lives to him, the people that we know today as the church. The church, and so he's saying that the church, Jesus himself says, the church is to be a city on a hill. And at first glance, it may not seem that profound, but the truth is, if you stick with me for a few months, I want to unpack this phrase that Jesus uses to describe the church. I want to show you this morning that the church is now the space. The church is now the place that God has chosen to be where heaven and earth collide. And he uses this this metaphor of a city on a hill. And you have to understand that in biblical times when Jesus uses this reference of a city on a hill, during this time, a city on a hill was very important. During this time, and especially in this particular region that Jesus is in, altitude played a huge advantage as far as the safety of a city went. A city in a valley was easily surrounded. It could be easily attacked. It could be easily conquered. But a city that was on a hill, it was easily fortified. It was protected. A city on a hill had a 360-degree view of what was going on around them. A city on a hill, it had high ground, which was very important, especially when you consider the weapons and the defenses of that day. They had things like catapults. They had stones. They had walls and arrows. And so a city on a hill, it had this advantage of being on high ground. A city on a hill could be seen from miles around. And so in some ways, it was this beacon of hope. It was a light to guide the way for people that were lost. A city on a hill carried with it all these countless advantages. And Jesus calls his people, the church as we know it today, he said, this group of people, they will be a city on a hill. That the church now would become this place, this very place of refuge. Just like the cities of refuge in the Old Testament and who Jesus was in the New Testament. Now, the church would carry on the legacy of being the place where heaven met earth. The church, it became this metaphorical city on a hill. It became a very sacred place because this was the place that God hands out hope, protection, restoration. And so I want to use this imagery of this city on a hill for a few moments. And I want to dig into three distinct ways that the church is called to live out its calling as the place where heaven meets earth. And I want to show you three ways that I think Jesus was referring to when he used at the onset what might seem like a very simple phrase, but it has such profound meaning this morning. The church, the place where you're at today, the church is a city on a hill. Number one, the first way the church can live out this calling of being a place where heaven meets earth is the church is a place that's always on the horizon. It's a city on a hill. It's always on the horizon. Imagine a fairly desert-like terrain during these ancient times when Jesus was teaching. There were no skyscrapers to block the view. There was no smog like we have here in Southern California or air pollution to cloud the air. If you were trying to orient yourself, you could do so by finding a city on a hill for the place that you were headed towards. It wasn't hard to miss. It was the only thing that was on the horizon. It acted like this ancient lighthouse that was guiding people to it because it was on the horizon. It was this beacon of hope that was standing tall and proud as if to say, come to me. Come find hope in me. Just keep heading towards me. Travelers could orient themselves to it, just picking it out on the horizon and knowing that they were headed for safety and for rest. It might seem miles away, but at least it's visible. At least it'll never be hidden. At least you can always orient yourself towards it. You'll never lose your way when you keep your eye on the city on the hill. And Jesus calls his church, his followers, he said his church would be a city on a hill. What Jesus was saying was that the church would always be a place of hope. That it would be a lighthouse. It would be this beacon of light that was always guiding people. That people that were lost could orient themselves. If they could just see on the horizon the city on the hill, they knew they had a place to aim for. This beacon of hope that was lighting the way, never hidden, saying, come find hope here. And so, I remember when we laid out our mission for Red Chapel. We said Red Chapel would exist to be a place where people would find hope. And we see this week in and week out, that Red Chapel has become this beacon of hope, this lighthouse for people. It's become a place that's always on the horizon, that people that are lost, people that are confused, people that are disoriented, people that have nothing else to live for, if they can just make it to the city on a hill, it's a place where people can come and find hope. And we've watched people have come. This has become a place where people have come to find hope. They found hope for their family. They found hope for their finances. It's a place for people to experience hope. It's a place where people find hope for their future. And so this morning, if you find yourself far from Jesus, he sets his church like a city on a hill, pointing to the place of hope. Because this is the place where Jesus' presence always is. And Jesus provides us with hope. The second way that a city on a hill is always located is always, think about this, this imagery of a city on a hill, that a city on a hill is always above the fray. It's always on the horizon. It's always above the fray. Now, you've probably heard that statement before. You may not know where it was originally used. It was originally used to symbolize a king who was set high on a hill and was able to look down on his fighting soldiers below him. And so this king, he was in no danger because he was literally above the chaos. He was in a higher place than the rest of his men. And so cities on hills in ancient times, they operated in similar ways. They were often fortresses of protection. They had these steep walls that were built around them. They were armed with plenty of soldiers to keep watch all around them. They were ideal because they had the high ground. So if you wanted to attack this city, you had to make yourself known. And so the city on the hill, this was the safest place to be. It was an impenetrable place of protection. And remember, once again, we recognize that the church, God's people, he calls them to be a city on a hill. And included, I think, what Jesus was trying to say in this imagery is that we are a place of protection. We're a place of protection. We're a place that's set above the battle. A place that's set above. It's a place for protection from the mess, from the chaos that's going down below. And so we are this place that is above the fray. We are literally removed from the raging battles that go on in the world. That's why you see so many people on Sunday morning gathered together at Red Chapel, because this is a city on a hill. It's a place of protection. It's a place where you come and you can escape all the chaos in the world, all the mess in your world, the chaos that's happening in and around you every day. When we come into church on Sunday mornings, the place where God's presence is, we're above the fray. And literally, we come in, and it's like you escape for a few moments during worship on Sunday mornings. I love this for me, for a personal time of devotion. I always try to have my son next to me and daughter if she's not singing, and Sonia. And it's just a place where our family can come and we can escape. It may have been a busy week. Things may have been hectic. The kids may have got sick. Something went wrong at the house or with the car. Whatever's happening or whatever's taking place around the church is a city that's above the fray. This is a place where people come. It's a place of peace. It's a place of protection. And so people, they come here on Sunday mornings to find this place of peace. It's like serenity. When you're in the presence of God, it's surreal. It's surreal. Chaos may be erupting all around you, but when you're in God's presence, you are in a place of peace and you feel protected. You don't feel like the enemy can take advantage of you or can get to you in those moments. This is why I encourage people, you got to make God's house a place of priority. There is peace and there is protection in God's house. And we get to be this chaos-free, this battle-free place, this space where peace is experienced. And so whatever you need today, whatever you need rest from, you can find it in the church. You can find it in a city that's on a hill. And so this city on the hill, it's on the horizon. It's a place of direction. It's a place to orient yourself around. It's also a place that is above the fray. It's a place of peace. It's a place of protection. But finally, being a city on a hill, it means that you're also in good hands. See, because this city, this fortified city, was so well protected, it was also able to be a place of healing for those that were wounded along the way. Because this city was a place of protection, the people were able to be the healing hands instead of fighting hands. And so when you pass through the walls of a city on a hill, you were instantly in good hands. You were in the company of capable people who would care for you. You were able to find hope. You're able to find healing and fullness of life. You were given the space to recuperate and rest. Just think about people that finally made it inside the gates of the city on a hill. You were given permission to be cared for, to take your burden off, to set your weapons down, to let your wounds be cared for. Remember, Jesus said that the church is a city on a hill. He was saying that the church was a place where you are in good hands. I want to take you back quickly to the story of the man that was at this pool of Bethesda. And Jesus asked him, would you like to be well? This is a man that's paralyzed, that he's lame, he's unable to walk. And him with all the other people that are surrounding that pool that day, they're sick, they're lame, they're paralyzed. And Jesus asked this man, would you like to be healed? Jesus said, or this man replies that Jesus said, I'd love to be healed, but I don't have anybody. I don't have anybody to give me a hand, to lift me up, and to put me into the pool. Jesus said that the church, a city on a hill, would be a place where you would be in good hands. And this is what Red Chapel has become in our city. It's a place for people that may not even have the ability to lift themselves into a place of healing. But the church is a place where you're in good hands. And so Jesus that day provided that man with the lift that he would pass on this challenge to his followers, his people, the people that would choose to pattern their lives after him. He now said, you're going to be this city. You're going to be the hands that lift people from a place of despair into a place of healing. And so we're passionate at Red Chapel about being the hands and the feet of Jesus. And so when you come to Red Chapel, you're going to come to a place of healing. And not just human hands, but today, and you'll encounter those people at our church, the human hands that are lifting people. But you'll also, behind the human touch, you'll be held and cared for by the hands of God, because heaven is the place where the church is the place where heaven and earth come crashing together. The church becomes a place where you find salvation, where you're saved. The church becomes a place where you can experience healing. It becomes a place where you can learn to thrive, where you can experience victory and power. You can build your strength back up in the church. You can become healthy at the church. You can become healed at the church. You can thrive at, there is a space for you. There's a space for healing at the truth. See, the truth is sometimes we all need a hand. The truth is sometimes we all need the benefits of a city on a hill. Like this man at the pool of Bethesda, we can go for so long knowing that we need help, but just never getting it. He had no one to give him a hand. He needed someone with healing hands. And Jesus comes along. And today, Jesus has come along again. And this time, he's come to you here in this place, in this house, in this city on a hill. I've come to tell you this morning that you are in good hands. You're in healing hands. And I love this about our church, that every week, people, there's a city on a hill. there's a group of people where God's presence is, where you can come and you can encounter the healing power of Jesus. So maybe you find yourself this morning like this man at the pool of Bethesda, or many of his friends that surrounded him that day, that were sick, that were lame, that were paralyzed, and you don't have the ability on your own to heal yourself. I've watched this happen over and over again. I watched families come in that don't have the ability to heal themselves. They're fractured families. I've seen individuals come in that they're broken. They're broken from the effects of sin in their life, and they don't have the ability to heal themselves. And they've tried. They've tried in those moments when they thought it was possible. I guarantee you that this man at the pool did his best every time that the angel stirred the water. I promise you, he did his best to get himself to be the first one in, but he couldn't do it on his own. I'm here to tell you this morning that you don't have the power in and of yourself to save yourself, to heal yourself. But everything changed that day for this man. For 38 years, he sat there waiting for that moment that the angel would stir the water and the water would bubble up. And he's seen other people go in before him. And for 38 years, he never received his healing. And I believe that this morning, there's some of you here this morning, that you've been dealing with pain and brokenness and hurt and sickness in your life, and you've tried everything. You've done everything in and of your ability and with your resources to try to heal those places in your life. You've watched other people that have found healing, that they made it into the pool. They made it. You may have friends. You may have somebody that invited you this morning, that they made it into the presence of God and they've been healed. But you find yourself this morning at a place where you need healing. And I've come to tell you that everything changes today. This is just like the day that Jesus happened to be walking along the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus would say the same words to you today. Would you like to be healed today? Would you like this to be the day that your life changed forever? That the thing that you were struggling with, the thing that's been bringing you pain, the thing that is bringing you hurt, would you like this to be the day? Today, today would be the day, because this is the city. This is the city on a hill. This is the place where God's presence is. This is the place where heaven collides with earth for you today. This is the space that God's chosen to be his home, to be the place where his presence would be. And so Jesus is here today. Jesus is here today, and he's asking this question: would anybody like to be healed today? Would anybody like their lives to be radically changed forever? From this moment forward, you'll never be the same. Like, miracles are going to happen this morning, just like they did for this man at the pool of Bethesda. That day, Jesus just simply said, pick up your mat and you can walk. And that's what happens when you're in the presence of God. That's what happens when you're at the city. It's on a hill. It's a different set of hands today. It's healing hands. It's Jesus' hands that are reached down for you this morning. And your life is going to be changed forever from this day forward. Because Jesus is just going to say to some of you this morning, it's going to be so supernatural what happens in just a moment. Jesus is just going to say to you, pick up your mat and walk. And Jesus, I'm telling you, just in a few moments in God's presence, miracles happen. It's supernatural. It's heaven colliding with earth. It's this sacred space where God said, that's where my presence will be. That's where miracles will take place. This is what God is offering to us today, is it's a place of healing. This is what I've really come to tell you this morning, is you pick the best day to be at Red Chapel, because today Jesus is here. And today he's come with his healing power to set lives straight, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. That's what Jesus came to do today. So I want you to stand with me this morning. And I believe Jesus would ask us this question this morning. Would you like to be healed today? Would you like to be healed today? Would you like to be set free from whatever it is that has you bound this morning? Would you like to see the chains that try to hold you back? Would you like to see them rip free from off your life this morning? Would you like to experience hope like you've never experienced it today? Jesus just says, would you like to be healed today? I know what you're saying. You don't understand, Pastor. I don't have the ability. I don't have the resources. You sound just like the man at the pool, Bethesda. Man, I want to, but you don't understand. I would love to experience what you're talking about today, but you don't understand. And Jesus is, all he's going to do, he wants to look at you today and say, just be healed. Pick up your mat and walk and receive your miracle this morning. That's what's available. I want to ask you, if you need healing of any type today, I want you to just make your way up to the front this morning, because I believe that Jesus is here and that Jesus is going to heal people today. That you're going to experience supernatural healing in just a few moments. Things that you've been trying to do on it for a lifetime in your life, in just a few moments in God's presence this morning, you're going to receive the answer that you have been searching for 38 years in just one moment.